Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. With Olay Total Effects Age-Defying Day Cream. Over 100 awards without paying hundreds of euros.
It's time for the rise of the extreme moderate power to the far middle. These are the words of my next guest, the American satirist PJ O'Rourke, whose latest book, A Cry from the Far Middle, Dispatches from a Divided Land, is out now. PJ O'Rourke, good morning to you and thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
Listen, what part of the States are you in?
I'm in rural New Hampshire, about 70 miles northwest of Boston. Middle of nowhere, really.
So how do you feel about your new president, Joe Biden?
Well, let's be hopeful. I've been covering politics for a long time, so Joe Biden is a familiar figure. I've been covering politics for a very long time, getting on 50 years. And Joe has been involved in politics for just as long. He doesn't light up the room exactly, but on the other hand, he's safe hands. He's a grown-up in the room. I don't know if he's accomplished anything of huge note. But on the other hand, as opposed to some other presidents we have, no need to name names, he hasn't done anything horrible or atrocious either, and I don't expect him to. I'd like to go a whole 4 years without really thinking very often about the president.
You preface your book, A Cry from the Far Middle, PJ, with the famous lyrics from Steeler's Wheels, clowns to the left, jokers to the right, here I am stuck in the middle with you. I mean, where exactly is the middle in US politics these days? I suppose considering Donald Trump got over 74 million votes after 4 years in the White House.
Well, four rather disastrous years, you'd think. But it's always important to remember that in American elections, that at least half of the votes that go to any candidate are votes against the other candidate rather than in favor of the candidate for which the votes were cast. America is not a deeply ideological place. We don't have political parties in the proper European sense, where there's, you know, a whole sort of platform and there's a membership card and you can be expelled from the party. Obviously, from recent events in the United States, you cannot possibly be expelled from an American political party. And on the other hand, you can't join them either. I mean, if you were to donate so much as a nickel to a candidate on either side, you will be considered a member of that party for the rest of your life, and they'll never leave you alone. Mm-hmm. So the election was, fairly close, not terribly close, but, you know, I mean, it was an awful lot of people voted for Trump, but mostly they were probably thinking, gosh, if I vote for Biden, my taxes will go up. You know, I'm not sure it was that the votes for Trump were any vote of confidence in Trump.
Interesting. Do you find yourself, PJ, in a strange position for a satirist? I mean, if you're kind of, I think, making the argument for people to come together and heal in the middle, or is that just matching the times Americans have found themselves in?
I mean, I'm quite conservative in the American sense of the word, not European class-based sense of the word, small c conservative. Very libertarian, very much in favor of governments leaving people alone to the largest practical possible extent. So I don't actually feel myself to be a centrist of any kind. But by the middle, what I mean is the part where people aren't throwing bricks and bombs and shooting it at each other. I mean, speaking to Ireland, a small island that has contained large political violence, you'll know exactly what I mean, is that I'm all in favor of people having strong political opinions and loud arguments about those political opinions, and I'm glad to join in the loud arguments. But there's the part where you're arguing, and then there's the part where you're killing each other. Well, I was in Belfast in the 80s, and it's not a direction I'd care to go.
You also write that while, you know, this book was being written in 2019, America was deep in an era of idiot populism and hooligan partisanship. I mean, was it ever thus, or does it just especially feel that way now?
I think it was Ever Thus by Fits and Starts. America being a large, lumpy, sort of semi-digested, unhomogeneous sort of country has always been given to fits of populism. Every now and then, some large group of Americans will feel that their voice isn't being heard or their needs aren't being met or that there's some conspiracy against them. And there'll be a sort of temporary uprising against the status quo. This started almost immediately after the foundation of the United States with what has to be one of my favorite civil disturbances, at least the name of the thing, the Whiskey Rebellion. I thought, well, I could get on board with that. Depending upon, of course, whether they were rebelling for it or rebelling against it. At the same time, these things tend to go away rather quickly. We once had something in this country called the Anti-Masonic Party. What on earth was that about? No one can remember anymore. We had a mass movement called the Know-Nothings back in the 19th century, and I believe they were well-named, and nowadays nobody knows anything about them. But every now and then, of course, in the case of our Civil War back in the 1860s, or in the course of the very worse, more severe civil unrest of the 1960s, things get out of hand. And I was frightened, remain frightened, not quite so much so, but I was frightened at the time I wrote the book that we were drifting in that getting out of hand direction.
Hmm. Can President Biden manage to lead from the middle? I mean, is that even doable anymore?
Well, we shall see. That is the question of the day. I think that if he keeps his goals modest, if he keeps his tone moderate, I think Americans have had their fill of the circus-like atmosphere that Donald Trump has brought to politics specifically and society in general. I think that the storming of the Capitol building, it was a sort of anti-Bastille. Instead of driving Americans to worse and further sort of civil unrest, it was one of those moments where going, whoops, that didn't seem like I believe we've gone too far now. You know, I think he stands every chance. There are, of course, going to be noisy opponents on the right, and he's going to have some noisy and probably not very loyal opponents on his own left to deal with. But, you know, the guy has a lot of experience managing difficult situations, and I hope for the best.
Has the word conservative, PJ, been undermined by the Republicans' alliance with extremists? I mean, do you think there'll be a revival of mainstream Bush-type conservatism?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Because America really has, rather than having political parties, America has basically two sort of modes of thought, really, two sort of opinions that to a greater or lesser degree, depending upon the times, have a lot of overlap. And one sort of way of looking at things, one very American way of looking at things, is government should fix the problem. Another very American way of looking at things is that government is the problem. Now, these are not actually dialectically opposing views. And so the conservatives are the representatives of the thought that government is the problem, and that government should be minimal, as inexpensive and unobtrusive as is possible. And the liberals are the party of government should roll up its sleeves and get into this and fix everything. Neither of those opinions ever go away. The Republican Party was pronounced dead on arrival after Watergate back in the 1970s. The Democratic Party was pronounced dead during the Reagan era. Bill Clinton, when finally the Democrats did manage to get a president back in, Bill Clinton began by saying that the era of big government is over, a very odd thing for a Democrat to say. And of course, he didn't mean it. But these two schools of thought never go away. So there definitely will be a resurgence. How soon and how strongly, of course, is, you know, anyone's guess.
What did you make of your president's inauguration speech and I suppose his call to end this uncivil war and that politics doesn't have to be a raging fire?
Well, all to the good, all to the good. But let me here make a little confession, rather large confession. mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. I didn't listen to the speech or watch the inauguration.
What?
All I really listened for in the reporting about the speech and report was tone. And the tone was quiet, reasonable, moderate, and I may say after the past 4 years, delightful to my ears.
But PJ, why didn't you listen and watch the inauguration? I live in Dublin and I was glued to it.
Well, for one thing, because I'm no longer a short-form reporter, I don't need to immediately react to, I guess I do right now, but professionally speaking, I no longer need to immediately react to what's been said or done. And so if the occasion arises next week or later in, you know, next month or so, to parse the meaning of Biden's inaugural speech, I can pull it up on the internet and read it at my leisure. But really because I think anybody who listens to the content of what politicians say is wasting their time.
Is that a bit cynical?
Well, I've been covering it for 50 years. Of course I'm a bit cynical. You know? It isn't what they say, it's what they do. And I mean, this is true. I mean, I've also raised three teenagers, you know, and if one listened to everything they said, one would go barking mad out
true.
Of one's mind. It's a matter of watching what they do.
That's true. That's true.
It's of real importance. And so, you know, I just I gave it a willful miss. I had the radio on and I thought, well, I was actually puttering around in my workshop with the radio on. And I thought, well, I could listen to this. And then I thought to myself, or I could listen to, you know, golden oldie hits.
So you opted for the golden oldie hits.
I did indeed, yeah.
Is the idea that anyone born in the US can grow up to be president someday now being questioned? And perhaps you need some other measurement to pass other than a birth cert and be popular? Or is that just what we expect the East Coast liberal elite to say?
I think that it is perhaps less a devout wish of the parents of the child that's born in the United States. You know, I think maybe they're standing over the cradle saying, you know, if you work things right, you might be able to avoid being
president. I love that.
I thought it was very interesting listening to commentary about Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. Admittedly, it'll be a little more important under her because her boss is so old and also because the Senate is split right down the middle. But I mean, these are technicalities. Traditionally, this is an office devoted mostly to going to the funerals of second-rate foreign leaders and cutting the ribbons on bridges. And so, you know, the first woman of color ever to clip a ribbon on a bridge. There was sort of a desperate floundering around to make this a first of some.
Actually, PJ, we're getting on very well, but I have to interject here. For me, not alone was she obviously a woman of colour, but she's the first woman in the United States of America, PJ, to be vice president. And I have to say, sorry to personalise it, as a woman, that meant so much to me.
Well, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong about that. I wouldn't disagree with that. I do think it's an important step, and I think America has lagged well behind the rest of the world in these matters. But when it comes to great firsts, I mean, after all, there is Golda Meir, there is Angela Merkel, there is...
But we're talking about America here, PJ.
Yeah, we are talking about America, and more's the pity. We've been slow to the gate with this.
Very slow.
Probably, I mean, it should have happened. I voted for Hillary Clinton, even though I didn't like her very much. Had she been a bit of a better campaigner, probably would have happened 4 years ago. I covered her campaign, or I covered enough of her campaign to see her speak a number of times. She simply wasn't very good at it, and it didn't have anything to do with gender. You can't bore your audience to death.
Mind you, a lot of men have bored their audience to death and still got elected.
True enough. Fair point. And, you know, she was, let's face it, she was carrying the baggage of her husband, you know, beloved at the time, getting less beloved by the moment. you know, I mean, it was dragging. Had she not had to drag that ball and chain around, I think she may well have done better.
You were writing in the Sunday Times, really interestingly, in November, just after Election Day, you know, that a Trump who's out of office will return to the campaign trail as if he or she were Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. What do you think will happen if the Senate, when it comes to the trial for his second impeachment, votes to bar Trump from holding public office again, which they can do, of course, PJ, with a simple majority once they first convict him?
I don't think they're going to be able to get that two-thirds majority. More's the pity. It would be time for Republicans to stand up and say, whoops, we made a mistake. Let's get this guy out of here. On the other hand, I think the end of the Trump administration, and I don't just mean the extremely unpleasant last few days of the Trump administration, but beginning with the onset of the pandemic, his complete, utter lack of leadership. I mean, he didn't even lead people in the wrong direction. He didn't lead them at all. If you combine that with the disgrace of his inciting a riot and the invasion of the Capitol building by his supporters, I think the man is done. I think he went out looking ridiculous, and so did the more avid of his supporters looking equally ridiculous. One thing that can always be said in America's favor, I guess it's in America's favor, it's a great blessing in America. We have an extremely short attention span. And it is my sure and certain hope that a year hence, people will be not quite sure what MAGA stood for on those red hats. And we'll be going, Donald who?
Listen, PJ, I've really loved speaking to you this morning. Thanks so much for taking the time to do so. And your latest book, A Cry from the Far Middle, Dispatches from a Divided Land. I loved it. It's out now.
Well, thank you, Miriam. I really appreciate that. And I'm sorry if I dissed Kamala Harris. I mean,
I've forgiven you.
Very likely going to be president. Probably not because of anything happened to Joe Biden's health. There's something about being in power that's a remarkable preservative, a sort of fountain of youth. People stay well no matter their age or physical condition as long as they have power. But it's very likely she'll get to run 4 years hence, and pretty likely that she'll run. And you know, her record is estimable. I'm sure that there are plenty of issues with which I disagree, but I don't disagree about her character.
Well, thanks so much, PJ. If you get the first woman president in America, I'll ring you up and we'll have another chat to celebrate.
Okay, definitely. We'll make a date of it.
Thank you so much, PJ. Look after yourself.
Thanks, Miriam. That was great.